Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
Whether you're navigating a high conflict divorce
or just trying to feel like you're not sucking at a sucky process, our Family Wizard is our pro tip that you must check out.
It's a co-parenting app that, if used correctly, will help you stop texting your ex.
No more passive-aggressive messages blowing up your phone while you're trying to work.
Tip from a divorce attorney, go sign up for their newsletter.
You'll get access to a special article written just for our listeners. Go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck. That's ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck.
This is the only divorce podcast that's one part family law attorney and one part recovering comedian. We're dedicated to bringing you action steps, empathy, and a healthy side of snark. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Finally into kind of nice weather where we are, and now it's bringing on amazing allergies and so many other fabulous things. I'm trying not to be crabby about it, but I'm over here sneezing constantly. How are you?
I am living in the midst of cicada infestation.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. Their little beady red eyes are looking at me every morning, every night. It is intense. And yes, my allergies are on fire, but it's so nice it outside.
It is. You have to take the positive with the negative, right? And always let the positive go forward.
Oh my God, girl, could you not teed up this episode any better with that?
I don't know if you know this. I'm a professional.
We should have a podcast. You're a professional. I heard you. I don't know if you've met me, but I kind of do this for a living over here.
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't we tell everybody what we're going to talk about today?
All right. So we're talking about getting your head into the right place before mediation, going into it with the right expectations, the right thoughts, the right strategy, and getting yourself in a place where you can actually make a deal. Because if you don't go in to a mediation session, understanding what there is that you might be giving up or gaining, you know, you might come out of there without a deal. And this is a great place to try to cut your costs, end the case, and get some sanity.
And for a lot of people, depending on where you live, but certainly where we live in the Chicago area, mediation is part of the deal. Like, you don't really choose to do it. You kind of have to do it. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, you go on to the next thing. And I think because of that, a lot of people look at it as, well, this is wasted. This is such a time waster.
I don't know why I have to go to mediation with this chode. This is so dumb. And you know you might not be wrong, but you might be. So I encourage you to listen to this episode very closely because there is something that you can gain from mediation, even if it fails. And what you gain is learning about what's really important to the person you're divorcing.
Could not agree more.
Right? Look at the way that they are attempting to negotiate slash argue with you, right? Pay attention. Take notes. A lot of people, let's talk about this for a second, Morgan, because I feel like this came up in the interview, which BTW friends, this is a re-air episode from a while ago when we had on a fabulous mediator and attorney out of New York City named Joy Rosenthal. But something that you talked about, Morgan, was the idea of an attorney-assisted mediation, which a lot of areas don't allow and some areas do allow it. So can we touch on that real briefly?
Yes, I love attorney-assisted mediation. It's basically where your attorney goes with you because you don't know what you're negotiating without your attorney's assistance. So I never want to send clients in unless I think that they are absolutely understand the law, really are tough negotiators, those kind of things. It's also really positive to have your attorney there because they're the ones that are going to say to you, hold on, calm down. This is definitely not the place that we should be upset about. Like this could be a positive for you and here's why. Or they may say to you, yeah, this is a bunch of BS what we just got. And I agree that you should be upset. I'm upset with it. And here's what we're going to do next.
Okay. So what you just said was worth its weight in gold. And I'll tell everybody, I've been through mediation more than once, and I have never had an attorney-assisted mediation, and I wish that I had for those exact reasons, because you feel a little bit alone in it, and you get something, and you're like, well, I don't fucking know. I don't know. I wasn't prepared for this. Do I like this? Do I not? The other thing with that, you guys, is that as much as this sucks, and you're going to hate me as these words come out of my mouth, but you have to prepare yourself to lose something. You are not going to go into mediation and walk out without a scratch. You're not going to walk out of there with your head held high, I say walk out, it could be a virtual, most of them are virtual right now, but you're not going to walk out being like, that's right, motherfucker, I got everything I wanted, see ya. It doesn't work that way. And it sucks because, you know, all the attorneys will tell you, make a list of your top three. And it's our lives, right? How do you make a list of things in your life where everything is personal? And you're like, no, I guess I don't really care about this. It is so hard to do. And it is so important that your attorney helps you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And they need to help you through the process. And so I think that this episode is going to be amazing, something for people to listen to get some ideas about. And again, remember this, if you need more help after this episode or you have more questions, feel free to send us a message. We are here for you. That's why we do this show. And we try to answer any of your messages and also get you any referrals you may need.
Not to mention, when we first aired this episode, Morgan, we did not have the divorce crash course. This was like way back when the only offering we had to our listeners was the show. Now, my God, we have a crash course that literally holds your hand and helps you not make major mistakes. And we have a private community. So guys, take some notes while you listen to this. Like Morgan said, message us, ask in the community if you have questions, and please, it is only $97. Go grab that divorce crash course. It'll answer so many questions for you. And a whole section in the crash course is about communicating with your ex, which you need when you go through mediation. It'll teach you how to be a BIF, which will save you so much money.
Agreed. And here, let's start the episode so that we don't keep talking and people start sleeping. Let's talk about mediation.
But he sleeps through our stuff, please. Only the cicadas.
Okay, so the words high conflict and mediation are not frequently used in the same sentence, but apparently they can be. So today we're going to cover that very topic, high conflict mediation, with New York City family law attorney and mediator, Joy Rosenthal.
Exactly. We just covered some high conflict parenting issues on our last episode. So why not bring it into mediation? Because a lot of people talk about mediation, and the legal issues that I always hear is, I want to settle it, but I just know my ex is not going to buy into it. Joy has been practicing family law in New York City for over 25 years and is also a professor at the CUNY Law School. This is going to be a really interesting and important episode for those of our listeners who are stuck in the middle of their divorce process. And one thing I want to mention about Joy is that she has a subspecialty, which is kind of unique, in same-sex marriages, because we have a lot of listeners in same-sex marriages. So this could be your episode that you maybe want to tune into. Joy, thank you so much for joining us and focusing on mediation, especially high conflict mediation. Welcome to How Not to Suck at Divorce.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really thrilled to be here, and I love your show, and I love the humor and joy that you bring to it, and yet you're also very reassuring, and I really feel like you're there for the listeners, and I want to be there for the listeners with you, so thank you very much.
Aww, I love that. Thank you. That was really kind, and I want to say that I know for a fact, because I've talked to a lot of these people, that a lot of divorcing people feel like mediation is not going to work for them because their soon-to-be ex is really difficult, or they feel like their divorce is really complicated, so they don't even want to consider mediation. And then when their attorney suggests it, they feel like their attorney isn't listening to them. Right? Because they're saying like, okay, look, I just told you that my wife is insane and she's so difficult and we don't see eye to eye on anything. How the hell am I supposed to mediate with her? So what I'm wondering, Joy, is do you hear that kind of rhetoric a lot?
I would say not a lot. A lot of the people who come to me are coming because they say, you know, we want our divorce to be amicable. We think we can figure it out. But it does happen. And I say, my answer to that is you don't have to agree on anything. You don't have to agree on what happens to the house. You don't have to agree on the kids. You don't have to agree on anything. You just have to agree to mediate and to come in good faith and try to work it out. So that gives a lot of leeway and kind of a lot of space, I think. And what I want them to know is that what I say to clients when I've meet with them the first time in the like introductory session is my view of being a mediator is not that I'm some objective outside person who's going to make decisions. I'm not making decisions. They're making decisions. Mm-hmm. But what I say, and I look at each of them, it's hard to do this on a podcast, but I look at each of them and say, I want to be there for you and I want to be there for you. And I want both of them to feel heard by me. And I want part of my job in mediating is to help them really articulate what it is that they want and need and why, and really think about why that particular thing is important, and also to be able to hear the other person, what they want and need, which when you're in the middle of a conflict, that's about the last thing that you might want to be doing.
So I have a follow-up, because Joy, one thing you just said is something that I feel like really solidifies mediation. It's not necessarily getting, in my mind, what you want. That's not really always what settles cases. It's what you said. It's feeling seen and heard. And when I have clients that feel seen and heard, whether it's in mediation or by the mediator or the whole process, you can get to a deal. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's almost like magic. It's like Andy Warhol said that we each have 15 minutes of fame. I feel like when people are getting divorced, they just want, like, you know, they want to go in front of the judge because they want somebody to hear all the pain that they're in.
Yes.
Such a good point. That
is, okay.
I'm like nodding over here because I'm like, I've been there. Yes, you are right. Joy.
Okay. So that leads me into my next question. And I'm kind of going off topic a little bit because, Joy, you're just bringing out the joy in us tonight. So here we are. Do you meet with the clients pre-mediation before you just jump in, just to feel them out and let them feel you out a little bit? Or do you meet with them the first day?
I meet with them. I give them a free 30-minute session. So not everybody does that. And the other thing that's different about the way I mediate is that I only meet with the clients together. So sometimes mediators will meet with one person and then separately meet with the other person. And the way I was trained is you do everything with both people together.
So I'm sure there's been some fireworks in those meetings.
Oh yeah. One of the first times when I was just starting out in mediating, I had been working in family court for a long time. I was mediating a custody case in the courthouse, and we had a rectangular table, and the people was a man and a woman. They were sitting on the opposite sides, and I was sitting in the middle, and the man reached over the table and grabbed the woman by her collar. Oh. And the court officer came running in, and I was like, oh Lord, what did I get?
You're like, this is not normal. This is not okay.
No, this was not okay. And because it was in the courthouse, the court officers were great there. They were very attentive.
Oh my gosh. Imagine if you weren't in a courthouse and there wasn't anyone with you. That's where my mind went. Like, I don't know what I would have done besides pulled my camera out to record it to post later on. I don't know what I would learn. What would you have done in that situation?
Well, now I meet with clients on Zoom, which makes it much easier. But when I met with clients in the office, I had a paralegal who was always there. I never would, unless I knew the clients really well already, I would never be alone with the clients for two
okay, but
this reason.
So it's one of our listeners, or probably many of them, are listening right now and they're saying, see, this is exactly what I'm talking about. This is why I don't want to go to mediation. This is why, you know, I don't want to meet with my ex with Joy or any other mediator. So if you have these two parties and this is your protocol, and remember listeners, protocol changes with mediators in every different area. My protocol is a little bit different. Joy's protocol is a little different. That's okay. All the protocols still usually lead to the road of mediation, which is positive in my mind. But my question is, let's just say this listener is like, yep, exactly. I'm going to be the one that has the fireworks with the ex on your first 30-minute Zoom. What do you do to calm everybody down? What's your MO there?
Listen, ask them what's going on for them and listen. So I just want to say a quick thing that mediation is not appropriate when there's domestic violence or when there's a threat of the use of power like that. Both people have to feel somewhat safe, and a lot of what there has to be some kind of underlying trust that both people are there in good faith and both people will be honest, particularly about their finances. So it's not always appropriate. It's not appropriate in every case, but I think it's appropriate in a lot of cases. And the level of conflict isn't so much the issue. It's the abuse of power that's the issue. And that can be different, but you can have two people who are really can't see eye to eye, but if there's a basic understanding that they want to get through this and they want to solve it, or that the alternative to solving it is worse than them trying to work it out, then I think there's hope to working it out.
Right. Because legally, what I see is, like you said, it's not appropriate for domestic violence cases. It's not appropriate when somebody is genuinely afraid or there's a genuine threat. But if it's just anger or hurt or not being heard or felt seen, that can be worked through mediation. And that's where somebody like a Joy, who is trained in this, can really get you to start negotiating. But again, sometimes those first few meetings, especially if you're meeting with your ex or soon-to-be ex, can be a little bumpy, because that's the first time that you're both going to essentially vomit out your entire story and all the hurt you've, you know, felt for the last, you know, X amount of years.
Right. So I had one case where the first time I met with them, for that 30 minutes, the wife just cried the whole time. She didn't say a word. She just sat there and tears were streaming down her face. And I kept saying, are you okay? Do you want to take a minute? She was like, no, I'm okay. She wanted to hear what I had to say. And we did the whole thing and she was just crying. Then we started, and the first meeting they came to, she screamed at her husband for 2 hours. She just had to get it out. She was absolutely furious with him. And then she calmed down and we got to work and we settled, you know, where were the kids going to be and what was the schedule going to be? And we, you know, we started getting to it. But it's not, I tell people sometimes it's not a linear path. It's
agreed. I always say, trust the process. Trust the process until you don't have reason to trust it. So Joy, give us our listeners' love stories before we hop into action steps and more about the nitty gritty of mediation. Give us a mediation story to kind of kick off this episode.
I have two.
Two for the price of one.
Two for the price of one. So one is, I was, this is a very New York City story. So you have to understand the context of this is that getting your kid into a good kindergarten in New York City public schools is like getting your kid into Harvard. So I was mediating with this couple. She was Muslim and not white. He was Jewish and white. And they did not agree on the time of day. They could not, like, one would say the sky is blue, the other would say the sky is gray. They were both really, really smart and really actually lovely people, but they were not at their best, we'll say, when they were trying to work stuff out. So in New York, when your kid is applying to kindergarten, you have to list your top three choices. And so they agreed on their top choice, which they knew was a long shot. They didn't think their kid was going to get into. We spent a whole 2-hour session on which school was going to be their second choice for kindergarten. And it cost them so much money. And I was just like, I mean, his view was that he wanted the kid to go to the all-white school with the best scores. And her view was that she wanted the kid to go to another school in the same district that was much more ethnically and racially diverse, because she didn't want her kid to feel like she was standing out. She was the only one.
Yeah.
And I understood both of those situations, like both of those positions, that they both made a lot of sense to me. But they were at each other's throats. And then finally, I said to them, you know, your kid is going to be great. She's going to be absolutely fine at either school. If she goes to the white school, you're going to make sure that she has friends who are non-white. And you're going to have after school activities and other things that she can do. That'll be fine. And if she goes to the school that doesn't have as great test scores, you can tutor her, or you'll spend time with her. You'll read to her. She's in kindergarten, right? I know that you're both going to spend a lot of time with her, explaining the world to her. But what she won't be okay with is you guys fighting all the time. Because kids want everybody to get along. That's really what they want. And they both looked at me. They stopped fighting with each other for a minute. And they turned to me. And the mom said, but Joy, that's what we do. Like, at least she had some self-awareness about it.
That is so funny. I wish I could say that I haven't had that school fight as well. It's just ridiculous. But, you know, it's a fact of life, especially in these big cities. I joke, I'm like, what are they feeding these kindergartners? Gold during their lunch? Like, what exactly are we doing here? Yeah, but I get it. I've been there and done the whole song and dance myself. So I understand the school issues for sure. For sure.
I have a question. In New York City, are mediations often assisted by the party's attorneys, or are they coming in just themselves?
That's such a good question. For me and most of my colleagues, we don't have attorneys. They come to us before they go to attorneys. So I always suggest that they have a mediation-friendly reviewing attorney review the agreement before they sign it. And sometimes they'll consult with that attorney during the process, because they just want to get an idea of like what the law is or what their rights are.
Yep.
Before they agree to anything. But usually we work everything out and then we file. I mean, and then they go to attorneys.
Meaning they both have to have an attorney to file in New York. Is that
they
right?
They don't have to. I don't insist on it. I insist on it if they were doing a prenup, but with divorce, if they really don't want to go to reviewing attorneys, then I don't insist that they do.
So in New York, can you file an agreement?
Yeah. You mean as a mediator?
Correct.
Yes. What I do is I have them waive the conflict of interest in writing, and then I can file. One of them becomes the named plaintiff and the other the defendant. Sometimes they toss a coin to see who's going to be which. And then I file on behalf of the plaintiff. But my conflict waiver says, you understand, I'm not actually representing you. I'm doing this just to get the agreement that you signed, reduced to a judgment of divorce.
So why did we start this show? Well, to help save you money in your divorce. Actually, more than that, I want to help save you money and avoid major mistakes in your divorce. How does that sound?
And that is exactly why we created the Divorce Crash Course. And guys, this divorce course is different than any other divorce course out there because it's easy to understand, it's fast, it's entertaining, and it's effective. So along with 5 short videos, we give you a printable guidebook that's going to keep you on track and organized throughout your entire divorce process. And I know that Morgan's not going to brag about herself, so I'll go ahead and do it. You guys are going to be getting guidance from one of our country's top family law attorneys at